Well, we're going back over. We're doing our teaching. We're looking here at tongues as really the door to the supernatural, because the scriptures has these things in it. We can't go back over all the things we taught. I would just, you know, we're going to pick up today and look at. You'd have to listen to last Sunday, because we can't go back over it all again. You need to listen to the things. We're looking at the fact, because people just throw scripture together. People say, well, some things aren't for us today, and they say those things. In fact, they say tongues. Many said tongues is of the devil. Well, if it's of the devil, then the Apostle Paul was of the devil. The church at Corinth was of the devil. The Ephesus church was of the devil. And so when people talk about, well, the early church, well, the early church was of the devil then. You know, we got to get clear. Is number one, is what happens is people follow along and listen to what other people say, and they don't go to the Bible. It's one of the things the Word tells us is Paul wrote to Timothy. Timothy was a pastor of a church, and he said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. If the word of God can be rightly divided, it can be wrongly divided. And he told him, you know, you study to show yourself approved. And it's sad to say, the majority of the church world don't believe in a baptism of the Holy Ghost, of speaking in other tongues. And they don't, because they don't rightly divide the word of truth. They throw things, they listen to what men say. You know, this happens, you know. Somebody turns around who says they believe in healing and they die. And they say, well, see, healing's not for everybody. I don't measure the word against what somebody else, their life turns out to be. I don't measure to that. I know people died and went to hell, so I guess salvation ain't for everybody. See, people run along and say things because of their ignorance, not because they studied to show themselves approved to God. I study to be approved unto God, not to men. Not so people like me and so people. It's be approved. I want to be approved unto God, not men. I want to know what the truth of God says, even to know if it, you know, maybe makes Ed uncomfortable. And sometimes the Word of God will make you uncomfortable. Hallelujah. Especially if your flesh is dominating you, and you'll find out in Scripture, and it's like, oh, you know. Is one of the things, it is teaching, it is a continuous learning. You know, as I enjoy learning, I enjoy the study of the Bible and learning more and more. And I thank God I'm further than I was 10 years ago or 20 years ago. Thank God I can see more light now than I did. I thank God for the light I had then. But I tell you what, I don't believe the same, you know, about a lot of things. Not because it's, yeah, I had a piece of revelation that was right, but God has added too. And when you get added too, it's like, oh, well, that's a little different. My view becomes different. It's like, you know, if it's outside, it's foggy, and it starts to clear up, your view gets to be a changed. And lots of times, we're standing in a fog, and we know this from a scriptural standpoint. Apostle Paul said himself, we see in a glass or in a mirror darkly. He said, then face to face. So in other words, all the fog ain't gone yet. Thank God, you know, there's one thing as I've learned. As you go on, the glass gets a little bit, that mirror gets a little clearer about things. You know, we're coming up to the end of an age, and I just want to tell you this. This next move of God is going to be a great move of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The majority of the church in this last move of God is going to come to the knowledge that the baptism of the Holy Ghost belongs for us today. They're going to come to that. This is why the Lord has me teaching us, because He don't want the Christians ignorant about what the Bible says about it. If God's going to do this, people are going to want to know the truth, and you can't just come up and just say, well, it's for today. We'll prove it in Scripture. Well, I just really don't. Well, then, you know, faith comes by hearing the Word. We need to be able to explain to people and show people in Scripture. And especially, we need to be able to teach and teach ministers. We wouldn't have the majority of the church world. And when I say majority, over like 75% of the church world don't believe in baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're going to have to teach ministers. They need taught. Church wouldn't be as ignorant as they are, because the reason they are is because the ignorance in the ministry. And so things aren't being taught. And what isn't taught, people don't know. I mean, it's just obvious. I mean, it's not, it's just the way it is. Thank God we can walk in the light we have, but, you know, there's too many times I want more light. I have questions. I get revelation. I see things, but it's like, yeah, but what about this? You know, here, I know there's something else more there. I thank God the revelation I had, but it's like, there's more to this than what I'm seeing. And I'm just curious. I ask questions about things. We're going to look today, especially from last week we talked about, in our teaching, we had looked at the two incidents in the Bible where Jesus dealing with people on the areas of salvation. And we looked at Nicodemus, where Jesus told him that he had to be born again. And we looked at that where Jesus talked, dealing with the areas of the salvation of man. Because we need to know this. The Bible talks about this. We had talked about this in the beginning, about salvation, being born again. And people, you know, as many believe that, you know, just because you got born again, well, you have all the Holy Spirit there is. Well, the Bible does not teach that. And we need to look at this. We also looked at the woman at the well at Samaria, and he talked about her concerning salvation, and he talked about it as drinking. Now, he told Nicodemus that you need to be born of water and the Spirit. And then he told the woman over concerning water again at the well, told her that she needed a drink. So in other words, she needed some water that he had. And we talked about that. Well, we want to look at something today. We're going to go over something Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. We need to understand, Jesus said that when he left, he was going to send them another comforter. He said, who was the Holy Spirit? He said, to abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. See, it requires to be born again to receive the Holy Spirit, as Jesus has said. The world can receive Christ, the world can be born again. Well, if he was talking about that, well, if that was the Holy Spirit, how many times you went in and said, I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to go out and preach the gospel and tell people to receive the Holy Spirit. We don't. Well, if these people who believe you get the Holy Spirit and that theory she's talking about, then they should be preaching that. You need to get the Holy Ghost. You need to get Him. You need to understand there's a big difference. A person, when I was born again, when I first got born again, I had the witness of the Spirit that I was a child of God. I had the one who would work to teach me. But I tell you what, I didn't have the Holy Spirit that I have now. I get born again. And we need to understand this. There's a huge difference in the two. Even many people that are filled with the Holy Ghost have really got filled with the Holy Ghost for naught. They just got filled with the Holy Ghost, stopped there. That's where they went. They went and put the brakes on. This is it. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. No, you got to understand what this is about. And we're going to look at that. Now, we're going to look at something that Jesus said, because in John the 7th chapter, I want you to find this interesting. Because this is why I believe in, we need to have much more teaching, really, that is in line with Scripture to follow things through. Because Jesus came along and talked to Nicodemus about being born again in John the 3rd chapter. John the 4th chapter, he turns around and talks to the woman at the well of Samaria. And so he's laying out a pattern here or something. And then we have in the 7th chapter, Jesus says something that is a little different. But now the church ties it all the same, and it's not, because it's different wording. In John the 7th chapter, Jesus says here, in this, in John the 7th chapter, verse 37, it says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come and drink. Now let's stop there. What's he talking about? See, if people would have studied and paid attention to what Jesus had just given reference to in chapters before, he said, what does he do? He's talking about coming and drinking. What is coming and drinking about? It's about getting born again. It's salvation. It's receiving Christ. We know that's what he told the woman at the well of Samaria. We know what he told Nicodemus. He said, what? He said this, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Then he says this, he who believes, who is the believer? The one who drank. The one who got salvation. God does not consider a person of... You can actually believe that you need to receive Christ but refuse to do it. God don't call you a believer. You're a believer when you drink. You know, you might be thirsty and I sit a glass of water in front of you, but until you drink it, you're still the thirsty guy. You're not a believer. It's just that simple. See, if you don't read things from the context of what things have been talked about, and we have too much of this in the church world, we have to have too much teaching that is very shallow and things, and so people assume, they read and assume things that it's saying this, and it's not at all. In fact, I can just say this truthfully. I've listened to Spirit-filled ministers use these scriptures, and I think, my God, they could use some teaching on those areas. They need to learn to read. You go back and you study the other things, and then you come to this. You know, God, understand this. God does everything with purpose. He does not do anything just to throw. You know, sometimes we just have, you know, language. We sit around and we, you know, talk about things or do things, and just from a, you know, laid back standpoint, you will never find that. You will never find that in the Word of God, with God. God has purpose in all that He said. If it was in the Bible, it's in there for a specific purpose. It wasn't a filler. It isn't what we do. Remember in school, they'd tell you to do a report and you'd throw some fillers. You got to do a 500-word report. How many things could I throw in there that are just sort of meaningless, but I could just add in there to work? How could I make this sentence a lot longer? Let's put 7 more adjectives on there. God doesn't do that. It's purpose. And when you read Scripture, this is why. You know, it's like people say, well, I'm going to read through the Bible. Do you read through the Bible in belief that it's a purpose? Not just so you can get some information about what's said. This is God's purpose in the earth. This is what God was doing. God's giving Himself, revealing Himself and His plans and purposes to man. And so it's not just about from the information. It's about knowing God. How God thinks, God's language. If you don't know God's language, today most of Christianity don't know God's language. They lose slang and use our slang and stuff in there, and they lose the language of the Bible. And so we miss meaning, we miss understanding of things. Because, you know, we're trying to, you know, you go to church, they seek your friend. We're trying to reach the world on their level. Well, this is on their level. Sin will dominate and rule. That's their level. And it'll rule in the church. You know? Nobody no sinner seeks for God. Jesus said, nobody comes to the Father except through me. And he said, you know, in other words, we're told to seek. When we're told to seek, he's talking to covenant people. Nobody comes to the Son except the Father draw them. In other words, people don't seek God. God sought out man. I can now give my testimony personally. I wasn't seeking for God. God came after me. When we're there, what would you do about going to God? You wouldn't know anything anyhow, you know? And so, God said, now verse 38 says, now he who believes in me. Now, what is it? This one that drank. He who believes in me, the drinker. This is the guy who drank and who is now a child of God, is born of God, this person. And it says about this person, look, it says, he said, he who believes in me, as the scripture says. You know, this is a very interesting thing, because he said, he who believes in me, as the scripture says, not as how we believe today. I'll tell you what, I listen all the time to people preaching, say the gospel, and they'll ask Jesus into your heart. Does the scripture don't even say any place to do that? Not one place in scripture is that written. Not one place. Yet it is broadly spoken in the church world. That's salvation. I'm sorry, it's not. It's not. Jesus ain't ever coming into the sinner's heart. They must be born again first. Jesus said about that, you need a new wineskin to put wine in it. You don't put it in an old spirit. See, this is why the cleaned up Christianity that's told. This is what I was taught as a kid in church. The clean up Christian. You have a dirty heart. Jesus washed it up. No, he didn't. That'd be the same old heart. It ain't going to work. You need a new one. And see, we shouldn't be teaching kids this stuff. We shouldn't be doing this stuff. Yet the church world is loaded with that kind of stuff in Christian kids' books. They grow up from the time that they're young, misled. So when they go to the scriptures, they read this stuff, they don't think about, they think in line of what they've been taught. That's what they think in line of. And I want to tell you what, it destroys the power of salvation. I didn't get cleaned up. I got new. Hallelujah. I've been made new. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, a cleaned up, washed up heart all didn't become new. It's the same heart to just dirty it up again. That's all it is. The Holy Spirit don't come and live in an old being that's cleaned up. See, we need to get thinking over these things is because we want to live in the glory of this thing. See, if we teach a low-level salvation, you know, then you have a low-level people living life, and you know, this is just, we're just getting by, you know. We don't believe in the power of God anymore, or the gifts of, well, this, you know, God gave us doctors. Could you please show me that in Scripture? I want to see a Scripture that says God gave me a doctor. Because if He does, He ought to say God gave me an auto mechanic too. They're important to you, aren't they? Hey, God gave me a contractor. No, what we did is we took these doctors and we made them gods. And I'm going to tell you what, they reign and rule. They reign and rule, and people can't get nothing better. Everybody wants better, but they can't get better. Why? This is a special gift of God. Majority of doctors and people working in hospitals, majorities are sinners. They got gifts of God? I had to get saved to get a gift of God. I guess I'm just a scoundrel. I wasn't as holy as those sinners are. But see, when we preach, you know, I'm not against doctors. Thank God for what they can do. But they're just people. Some are good and some ain't so good. They're just like everybody else. Some are good at what they do and some don't. You know, there's some guys out here are good carpenters or some ain't. You know, every job you go to, there's somebody good at it and there's somebody ain't good at it. You know? If they're a gift from God, how much other things get so messed up? These gifts from God are sure flaky. God gave man wisdom and understanding how to do things, and what we do with it in our lives depends on us, what we do with it. Man has been educated in things along. If God gave us doctors as gift, isn't it terrible all the centuries that people died of so many things and stuff where doctors were terrible, the stuff that they did? That gift of God was awful. See, God, you know, I mean, our first president dies because they bled him to death. You know, they said he would probably lived if they wouldn't have bled him because he would probably fought out the infection that was going on in his body. Why don't you think about that? That was a gift from God. God gave the great gift of kill the president. This is one thing as I learned. Most Christians don't have original thought in their mind. They don't think about nothing. They just go on and somebody says something. They're like the baby bird in the nest. Anything that somebody wants to stick in their mouth, it's open. You can just stuff it in there and they'll just... Jesus Christ, if He made this statement Himself, He said, have ears to hear. Boy, I wish people would do that. You can get so ingrained in your thinking, you can't hear anymore. You can't hear. Truth comes and God can't get truth to you. I don't want to be there, do you? I don't want to go to that place. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to have ears to hear. But we found this out here. He made this statement, out of his heart, this one who is born again, he says, as the scripture says, out of this person. Now this person doesn't have to follow the scriptures to get to this point. He said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, that is totally different than what he talked with Nicodemus and the woman at the well. He told her there was going to be a fountain of water. There's a fountain of water. Jesus said this experience is a river. This one is a river. River is something. It's going to something flowing out of you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is about ministry, not being called as a you know, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. It's being, as a believer, our walk with God, a ministry. It's a need. In fact, it is so needful that Jesus told his disciples before he left, don't you leave to go out till you down to Jerusalem till you receive the power from on high. He didn't say get down there to get saved. They already believed he raised from the dead. Apostle Paul said, you got to believe Jesus, God raised Jesus from the dead. Confess Jesus is Lord. Think they didn't believe? They're born again. These men were totally changed. We know that they were. Right before Jesus showed up to them, they're hid out. They're hiding out, man. They're scared and hiding out. They're hiding from the law. Man, they're hiding. Jesus comes along, he's alive. They're out in the open now. They get down to Jerusalem on Pentecost, and they're down there having prayer meetings. They ain't hiding no more. Why? What changed? They got life. Just like me. When I got born again, that changed. It's just number one. You need to know that. Like the Lord said to me before I got saved, he said there's no such thing as a closet Christian. Because I tell you, you can't get born again and stay in the closet. If you stayed in the closet, you didn't get what I got. You got just a religious experience. You got one of those. You got one of those SBS Jesus into your heart sermons. You just got one of those flaky things. Well, you know, you just get cleaned up, you know, and you're still an old sinner. You got cleaned up, and you know what? They don't ever get cleaned up well. We ain't cleaned up. Hallelujah. You're a new creation. You're born again. And so he tells them, there's going to be experience. There's something going to come out of you now. See, your salvation's for you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit's for others. It's a ministry to others. That's what it's for. You need to get this in your mind. You don't need a call of God to minister to others. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're supposed that's supposed to be it. You know, do you have something flowing out of you, or all you have is a drink? All you have is some water you drink. Is that what you got? And so we want to look at this. Now in verse 39, clears this up. It says, but this, what was he speaking about? This water flowing out? What is it? But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet crucified. See, the Holy Spirit given is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit was in the earth beforehand. The Holy Spirit was here. But we know this. What happened when the Holy Spirit... It wasn't the new birth. The new birth is the Holy Spirit baptizing. We found that Scripture says, baptizing us into Christ. Now, this because this event takes place, now there's something that you and I, there's a gift, and probably the Bible teaches, we talked about, read about, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We don't see this amazing. You need to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We don't do that today. We don't tell believers they need to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, because that becomes controversial. You know, we don't want to have any controversy in a church. We want the devil to be able to rule and reign as much as he can. So we can talk about how hard it is to be a Christian and go with our little wimpy whining and act, boy, I can't wait till Jesus comes back because I don't know. Oh, things are getting so bad. Why? Because you ain't, you know, you're in a gunfight and all you got your finger to point. You know? No, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a shotgun. Hallelujah. And it's a pump with a big clip. And we need to understand that. This is what this stuff's about. It's not fighting people. It's about demonic powers. When the devil rules, you know the best way that the devil rules? He's not doing some kind, not showing up with horns and a pitchfork and all that kind of junk. He shows up with ignorance. Teaching ignorance. Believing ignorance. Letting him get away as long as you know, it's like there was a, You know, if you have ignorance and you just let things keep going. You know, when I was a kid in school, we had a guy, his name was Bill Sholley. I was in first grade. And Bill was about a head taller than everybody else. And he was a bully. And everybody was scared of him. And I was scared of him too. But every time we went out at recess, Bill's messing with everybody all the time. You know, and one day it was my turn. And he keeps messing with me. But he didn't know this. I had five older brothers. And I learned how to take care of myself even when you're scared. Because if you don't, I learned this over time. They just run you over all the time. My older brothers would run me over all the time. But they learned, I learned how to pick big things up and hit people with them. My brothers learned. My brothers learned about these things. Because, you know, you had to do it to survive. This isn't about trying to get by. Because why? They'll just do it day after day. They will mess with you. And they learn. You don't mess with me. I'm little, but I can pick things up. And you will have to go to bed at night. You know that? In the nighttime. You never know. A meteor might come through the roof and hit you on the head. But anyhow, Bill Sholley's out there messing with me. And he just keeps it up. And I turned around and punched him in the nose. Now, I'll tell you what, I was scared when I did it because I figured he could definitely do something to me. You know, we were out there in the playground. The school didn't give you stuff to carry around with you. And I punched him. And Bill just cried. And he cried. And he cried. And the teacher, you know, oh, you hurt poor Bill. And I had to stand in the closet. But they stood a coat closet this time. They stood me in a clothes closet. And I smiled the whole time I was in there. And I didn't apologize either. No. Bill learned not to mess with me. And he didn't know I still scared of him. He's bigger than me. He could easily do something to me. He could. But, you know, he didn't bug me. So he found other people to mess with in the playground. Well, see, the devil. See, people's ignorance of not doing anything or not doing, they keep walking along in ignorance and things dominate and things rule because they don't know. You know, here we are. You know, we're in life and we got to wait for something natural. We got to wait for all this stuff. And meanwhile, the devil uses things against people and does things all the time. We need to get ourselves thinking right about these things. The Holy Spirit, the ones who received the Holy Spirit had not been given, but it is given now. And so we need to walk into light of this. In Luke 24 and 49, this is something that Jesus made mention concerning the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this in Luke 24 and verse 49, talking concerning the Holy Spirit. He says this. Now we know this, we already taught, you can go back over to teach it. The Holy Spirit's called the promise of the Father. He's never called the new birth. He's called the promise of the Father. He is never called the new birth. He's called he's not called born again. He's never called eternal life. He's that. This is the promise of the Father. And what did he say about the promise? Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Did he say in you in this circumstance? Upon you. See, there's a difference, the Holy Spirit in you and the Holy Spirit on you. There's a difference of water in you and water on you. You know, I drink I go get a drink of water and I drink it and I say, hey, I went swimming today. That's what the church does. That's the church world. Why? Wrong teaching. This is the promise of the Father. He said, promise upon you. What did he say then? Tarry in the city of Jerusalem, what? Until you are endued or you receive with power from on high. You get this power from on high. He's not talking about the new birth there, is he? Not talking about, no, you don't go down there. In other words, you tarry there till you get power. You need to stay there till you get power. See, we have, the most of the church world is powerless. We're praying and asking God to do things He has ordained the church to do. We're always, you know, praying for people to, you know, be healed. But He said we can lay hands on people. We have the authority to go lay hands on people. We have the authority to do these things. We can lay hands. We've been given authority to things. We've been authority to speak in new tongues, but that's of the devil, you know. Jesus said, you know, in my name you'll speak in new tongues. And the church rises up and say, tongues is of the devil. Well, then Jesus is of the devil. Because He's the giver of the tongues. So Jesus would be of the devil. So here we are. This is, see, the church is very confusing. It's one of the things, the great confusion of things in church is one of the reasons why I stayed away from Christianity. Because I thought Christians were crazy. In a lot of ways they were. They have so much intertwined, crazy stuff intertwined into the good, sometimes it's hard to see how good things are. It's hard to see how wonderful they are. I'll tell you what, our Lord is absolutely incredible. So he told them, you wait, you need to receive something. Now listen what Jesus said in Acts 1:8. In Acts 1:8, Jesus made this statement concerning this gift about the Holy Spirit. He tells the disciples about this. This is Luke writing again. See, Luke 24, Luke wrote the book of Luke. Luke also wrote the book of Acts. So Luke has not digressed from his subject. He went from the end of the Luke, the gospel, into the writing the book of Acts. And if you find of them, the end of the book of Luke is the exact entry of the book of Acts. Acts 1:8. What did he say you're going to have? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You're going to receive power. When the Holy Spirit, this comes upon you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit on you. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit in you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit on you. The church never differentiates between the two. Never. We just throw all this stuff together. Hallelujah. But now you have what? The power of God on you. He says, what is this purpose? What's the purpose of this? He goes on, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. What is this power for? It's to be a witness to Jesus. He told the disciples, don't you go to get the power. He didn't say, get saved and just go. These guys are saved. He said, don't go. You're going to get power. See, and all these people, well, you know, the church started in the book of Acts there, you know, in Jerusalem. No, it didn't. The baptism of the Holy Spirit's the beginning. It's the ministry. The book of Acts is the ministry of the church, not the saving of the church. It's the ministry of the church. It's the ministry of power. That's what it's about. Ministry is supposed to be with power. People have to have an anointing to do it. And see, we need to understand, you will never find manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit operating through people that aren't baptized by the Holy Ghost. You know, now I want to say this. People can do and believe things by faith, but you'll never see the gifts go in operation. You know, Kenneth Hagin, he learned about, before he was filled with the Spirit, he learned how to get healed by faith. It doesn't take a baptism of the Holy Spirit to learn how to be healed. You just believe the Word. The Word worked. In fact, he said he had more people healed before he was filled with the Spirit, he said, than the Spirit-filled people would get because they didn't know how to minister by faith. They just ministered if gifts went into operation. Well, he said, we got people healed all the time because we taught them how to have faith and believe God. You see, we as Christians, we just ought to have faith, believe God. That's you know, believe the Word. I'm always amazed people call themselves the Word people, and they ain't. See, I don't look for gifts of the Spirit to get something. I don't need them. I can believe God for anything I want. Jesus said I can ask the Father for anything in His name, and He'll give it to me. Gee, I wonder if He lied about that. Well, I'm just going to say this. Majority of the church believes He lied about it. Well, you just can't ask for anything. You just throw that scripture out there and watch what people do with it. They'll make an excuse for all their unbelieving and all the prayers that they never got answered. And they will make up a Jesus and a Bible that states what that Jesus they believe in does. And call, we're preaching the gospel. The Bible says it's true, whether it works for it or not. God's true. Let God be true and every man a liar. We need to live in the light of that. God's wonderful. Hallelujah. I want us to get across to this today as we look at these things. Because when we look at this, especially, we want to go over and look at Acts, the second chapter. We're going to look at Acts, the second chapter here because we want to see this is as we look into these things, that the things that took place and what happened here in Acts, the second chapter. Acts 2 chapter verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now this was the disciples. There was 100. Now understand this. The disciples are not just 12 guys. There are 12 apostles. Now, they stood in a, they had a certain gifting, an apostleship. I'm a disciple. And if you, you're supposed to be. Are you a disciple? Well, see, we need to understand this as disciples. Don't people get this idea of 12? No, there was 120 of them there. They're in the room together. There's 120. Now, look at this. Jesus Christ appeared to over 500 people, the scripture tells us, at his resurrection. And the day of Pentecost comes, there's 120 down there. It's always like that. Has never changed. God, I watched the revivals come along. God manifests himself to millions. And a few years after it's all over, oh, there's millions were in that thing, but really there's a lot less that are actually still into it and still flowing. It's the way it always is. Always is. It's the way it is, you know. But we find out here, they're in one court. And he said, and suddenly there came the sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. So this sound filled the house. This sound filled the house. And people say, well, the Holy Ghost filled the house. No, it don't sound it. There's a sound. There's a wind sound. Holy Ghost came in. It says, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And what happened? And they were all born again and became children of God. They all received eternal life. Don't say that. Huh. Well, I thought the church started that day. No. What were they doing? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the devil gave them utterance. Well, hey, let's just see. We gotta clear the air and our thoughts of any of this kind of stuff. We need to get this stuff out and get it out. This is God. Don't be ashamed with people. You can't beat anybody over the head with it. But say the truth, whether they're happy with it or not, it doesn't matter. They can't move in faith toward it till somebody tells them the truth. The truth is what gives people faith. Not some unbelieving person who's telling you, you know, that, you know, we're just down here, you know, Pilgrim Progress is the church's book. That's how I grew up with, man. Pilgrim's Progress. They bragged on that thing when I was a kid. Pilgrim's Progress. We're down here and I got this big burden on my back and I'm carrying it through life. And, you know. Hallelujah. No, we got the power of God in our life. We got, you know, you get the power of God in your life. How about letting that carry you through life? Hallelujah. Walking in light of that, that'd be a whole lot better. Praise God. Hallelujah. So this is a born again people. So they already had these guys here walking in the light of this. So this was an eternal life. They didn't get down there and got fire came on them and they got forgiveness of sin. None of that said. See, we need to get ourselves over. See, we need to take people to place. There is so much misunderstanding about terminology used in the Bible. And we don't realize this. You know, people go, you know, it's amazing. People go to schools, to seminaries, and people go to Bible colleges and are ingrained with unbelief. Ingrained with it. Taught the doctrines of men as being the Bible. Taking the scriptures and twist them around and all that stuff. Well, if number one, if the church is different in the beginning than it is now, then we need to rip the book of Acts out and burn it. Because we don't want anybody to get a hold of that ugly, unbelieving truth, do we? We don't. Why would you keep it and read it when if it leads you astray? There's one thing as I found this out about the Bible and I've learned over the years. Is to follow patterns. God always operates in patterns. This is why many people don't know the move of God. Because anything comes along, they'll buy it. I'm going to tell you what. God moves in patterns. He has ways that he does things. And you will always see the pattern in moves of God. It never changes. There's patterns of God. And you learn on it. You know, should I tell you about you? You live by patterns. You have ways that you do things and ways you respond to stuff and the ways you, that's just your personality and that's what you are. Ain't nothing weird about it. Everybody has certain things and patterns and how they do stuff, you know. And, you know, and it's always really funny, you know, how they do things is, and you know what? Those patterns sometimes are hard to break. Even if they operate against us sometimes, you know. But we get these patterns and we do them and we really, you know, I found out there were certain patterns that I had to change in my life because, you know, sometimes you want to be more efficient and heading right. So you got to change patterns how you do stuff. Because, you know, I'd start to do certain things, start with this, that, and I say, hold on, I don't need to do that. This is what I need to do. You know, should I tell you something? I see people do this all the time. People have this pattern in their life. And I see Christians that can't move up to where they want to is because they have this pattern in their life. They always fall for the insignificant thing to do at first. Always the insignificant. The thing that really don't matter. It's just like somebody trying to save time in their life. I found out you have to decide what needs to be done and what don't matter. There's things that I watch people do that it don't even matter if they ever do it in their life. It'll not change a thing. But they still do it all the time. And they put it before what needs to be done. And so you got to find that out about yourself. See, we just have these things. You know what? God don't have any bad patterns. He don't have none. So if I can follow a thing, I can learn His patterns. Why? He has a way that He thinks, the way that He does something. God has structure and law and rule. He has no insignificant, crazy things thrown in here. He doesn't have that. God is always life, light, and truth. That's just the way He is. He goes in line with it. God does things sometimes we think to seem a little different. The only reason it's us. Because He has to go through all of our patterns of craziness to get to us. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You've heard me say this many times. I found out God, you know, He'll get a revelation to me. I think all of a sudden dawns on him. He's been trying to get that to me the last 2 years. Why? He had to work through my patterns of doing stuff and my thinking. He don't think like that. His brilliance finally got a hold of me. You know why? Because He never changes what He does. He don't change. Why would He need to change if He's right? You know, I just found out I need a lot of changing. You know, that's me. I learned it. But see, you do that. Now, so we need to understand this, and we are looking at scriptures, and we're looking at God. Understand this is what we're dealing with. This is why teaching, you know, this is why in schools today kids are not learning. Because the teachers went to college that aren't trained how to teach. It ain't about just giving facts. You got to get facts across. A teacher gets the ability to get the facts across, not just give facts. If that's all you got, I see Christians do this all the time. All they are is fact givers. They have no sense of teaching. They don't have it in them at all. You know, you have this in the natural. It's not knocking just Christian. You have this. I've worked around people and worked on jobs, and there's certain people work on jobs. They couldn't teach somebody else their job for nothing. You get another person, and they can turn around and teach somebody how to do a job. They can teach them how to do it. So number one, if you're going to be a teacher, you got to learn this. You got to be impatient. See, I learned this about here because I tell this. I learned because when I started off, I thought, my God, what do you do to get across from people? And I just learned this. You just keep teaching over and over and over and over and over and over and over, and they get tired of it. And so you know what you do? Teach over and over and over and over and over and over. Because when they got tired of it, I know this. They don't know it yet. Because if it's a revelation with God, it gets exciting. When you got it, you know, I eat ice cream one time and somebody comes up to me and says, you want to eat ice cream? No, I don't like ice cream anymore. I had it one time. No, I say, no, you give me some ice cream again. We'll do that. God's truth is life. The truth of the Word of God. See, these things, I've gone over this stuff in the Bible so many years of going over these things for myself. You know what? I go see them again and you know what? I eat the ice cream. It's just as good. It seems to me there's more toppings on it now. It gets gooder. And that's what you want. You want it to get gooder. You go over. And see, we were going to do this. If you take, like, say, in the same way from the natural kids. In school, when I was in school, Remember they used to have the adding tables, multiplying, dividing tables, all that stuff? And you did the memorizing? They don't have none of that today. They don't have any of that today. And what do we have? I was just reading the things of our school districts around here. Now, Anvil-Cleona came out on the top of the school districts here for learning. But if you sit down and look at percentages, I mean, it's shameful. We have huge amounts of kids. I'm going to tell you what, their high school diplomas ain't even good toilet paper. It's worthless. Because the standards are... See, you can get a degree today and be a complete dummy. Because you meet the standard of the person, of the people who have set the standard. And their level's down here. So where's your level going to be? If they're at the top of it, you know you're coming out below that. Well, Christianity is the same way. Jesus said you don't go any further than your teacher. Well, you think Jesus didn't know how the system operates? So we know this. Our teaching systems stink. Our teaching systems stink today. Why? Because they don't drill people over and over. We're trying. We want to give somebody, you know, I'm just going to tell you this. If you get somebody really proficient at just adding, subtracting, and multiplying, dividing, they're going to get algebra. They'll get all the rest of that. They'll be able to do all that. When people can't do that, it's because they don't know the basics. It's like building a house. They tell the foundation. The Bible talks about the foundation. No good foundation. Don't expect the house to stand. We have lousy foundation. It isn't how much you can teach. It's what you can get into people and people will listen to and receive and do. We don't need more information. We need to digest the information we got. Spiritually, that's what you... I tell you what, this is why I'm dealing around things that's foundational because I realize this. The success of my Christianity is my foundation. That's what's made me succeed. My foundation makes me succeed. Because see, my foundation... I believe the right things about the foundational teachings. I'm believing the right... Putting the rest of it together, it's easy to do. It'll all hold up. When I came in the kingdom, we had a lot of foundational teaching. Not today. Today's we have a lot of flake and fluff. Some goosebump Christianity. All this kind of stuff going on out here and that stuff. Doing those things. Why? Because we have a lot of flake and fluff ministers. They just, you know, we're just trying to get people. We're trying to get people. Trying to take care of people. My job ain't to take care of you. Jesus is the good shepherd. See, people are like, look, somebody take care of it. Somebody do it. I'm sorry. Who takes care of me? I don't got something special. God don't turn around and I just have all this knowledge and everything and I just sit around and I don't read the Bible or do anything. It just comes to me out there. It's just, you know? You know, every once in a while a bird flies over and there it goes. You know? We did. That's why. Because God gave us ability. God created man to be smart. You got born again. You need to understand. You got smart in you. Quit trying to get smart like somebody else. You need to know what you have in you. What you are. What you become. See, death came into those things that when man sinned, a decline started. Jesus Christ came. Light. Light, wisdom, understanding. And it's not in line with what the world thinks. I'm not of this world. The Bible says so. I'm not of this. I don't look to the world for my knowledge and understanding. I don't, you know, it don't trouble me what they believe. They're in darkness. Dear God. Hey, and as a sinner, I believe a lot of crazy stuff. Now today, I run into Christians. And they're ready to be the crazy stuff I used to believe as a sinner. Why? Not taught. You know why? See, we're in sin today. It's like when I was in Bible school. I always watched this. See, it's like school. I really enjoyed Bible school. I liked learning. I liked learning. I didn't like learning because when I was in school as a kid, I liked learning. I didn't, a lot of it. I didn't like it. See, the light came on when I got saved. It revolutionized me. And I had a hunger and thirst for righteousness, for what was right. That's what righteousness is, what's right. If a person who's not hungry and thirsty, not into the word, they're not hungry and thirsty for righteousness. They're not hungry and thirsty for it. I'm hungry and thirsty. I want to know what's right. I want to comprehend what's right. That's why we go after this stuff, because I want to know what's right. I don't know everything that's right. I'm learning about what's right. But see, we're hungry and thirsty for it. But we need to understand it's going along with this as you know, like with myself is going, you get people walking along out here and they want to head in a direction. They want to head towards something. We're running into people out here and they dealing with the area just in what's right. You know, they don't know. They're stumbling along. They're there. You know, even sinners you will find have some light of the truth. They might have certain things of truth that they have light in. You know, I had certain things of truth that I had light in as a kid that I had picked up. It was taught from the Bible, was truth light. All this, we had all this other crazy stuff. It got sort of mixed up, though. See, it gets mixed up. It's like the cloudy water. You take clean water and dirty water and mix it together. You know, you got dirty water. And even though there was clean water in there, you got to get that dirt out of there to have the water again. You got to get the dirt out of there to have it. But there is something in us. This is why, you know, sometimes witness to people, listen to the Holy Ghost, because sometimes what he'll give you to say will turn the filter on to what they already see. They already have known. Turn the filter on that. You need to do that. That's why you need to be led by the Spirit. You can't walk around these canned things about, you know, here's how you lead a person to Christ. No, I can tell you what to do is have them confess in Christ, but you're going to need the Holy Ghost to witness to people. In fact, you're going to need power, the Bible says. You're going to need power. You're going to need power. You're not, let me say, we need to stop with the church of just trying to do everything by just knowledge. Just knowledge. You need power. You can't be a witness to Jesus, for Jesus, without power. You can't. You can. No, you can go around and tell people God loves them. Prove it. So you can tell me you love me all the time. I'm going to measure it by how you treat me. That's the only way. I ain't got any other way to measure what you do. You know, I tell Wanda I love her, but I'm living with another woman. That makes a lot of sense. That's a lot of people talk. See, we use the word love out here is nothing but cheap. We should not use the word love hardly ever. Love ought to be a special word set aside, used for the right things. You know, I love ice cream, and I love Jesus. Oh, good. Jesus and ice cream are like this, you know. Wow. And most people would go for the ice cream first, that they love the ice cream more than Jesus. Good preaching. Uh-huh. I love. I love you. And I'll cheat on you in a minute. I love you till something better comes along. I love you till. See, people throw this stuff out. I always like this young people. They talk about their first love. Well, it wasn't much of a love, but it lasted. It wasn't love. Get over yourself. I learned that early. I didn't have to go. Thank God I didn't go through all that crazy stuff. I just learned early in that stuff. You know, I didn't fall in love with none of them. Why? I wasn't in love with them. I always thought love would be something, you know, you come along and it would be something different, you know, about it. So I lived 30 years before I really understood what love was about. Mary and I, Wanda and I married for a long time. Till Ed found out what love was about. I got born again. And you know what? That's the first I ever really loved my wife. I liked her more than me. Before I ever liked anything more than me. I was always first with me. I can tell this to most people, even Christians. They don't know much about love because they're always first. You know, they get their hurt feelings. See, my feelings were hurt. Don't you know me? I need love. You said something that upset me. This is good preaching, folks. So, yipper, I'd be upset a lot. You know, I just in love, you just gotta walk along and hey, it is what it is. You know, I've learned with, and I got born again. I learned with my wife. I learned about the insignificant. It don't matter. It don't matter what's said. I'm gonna love her no matter what. It don't matter what. That's settled. This is a settled fact. I'm gonna love her and I'm gonna stay with her. If she wants to leave, I'm gonna cling on. I'm in love. Don't matter to me all the rest of that stuff. And you know what? I found out it's wonderful. It made me happy. See, my future with her settled. It isn't something I'm trying to figure out going along. Love done figured that out. And that came from God. The love of God that was shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. That made the difference of what love was. Not some, love is not an emotional feeling. Wanda does something, I don't care if it upsets me. Don't change my love. My emotional feeling has nothing to do with my love. My love's settled. I'm gonna walk in love with her. I mean, I don't like that, but hey. Things I do, she don't like either. But you know what? We love one another. We're sticking with it. All that rest of that stuff in between matters not. See, we learn over time. See, we learn about what was significant. I remember Alyssa came to me and said to me one time, as Braden was you know, a little taut in the things he would do and how I would go with Braden. And she said to me, boy, you're different with him than you are with us. And I said, well, I'd like to think I'd learn a few things from the time of you guys. See, I learned this. Was a lot of things were insignificant that I dealt with. And as I got older, I found out. What to me was at that time, but see, that's all I knew. I was doing what I knew. Which I found out I didn't know much. I run into people, and you know, they're still as dumb as they were 50 years ago. And I said, yeah, I said, what I found out, why? There was a lot of things when I got, as I went along, I found, this is insignificant. This doesn't matter. See, it's one thing is number one, I wanted Braden to know this, that no matter what, whether I corrected him or did whatever is, I loved him. I wanted him secure in the fact. Pawpaw's on his side and Pawpaw likes him. See, I want him to have that. You get that. See, this is what most Christians don't know about God. God loves you and you don't even know it that well. If anything, he wants you to know that he loves you. That anything else that's going on, he has to deal with you, he loves you. And he's going to deal with you from that matter. He's not ever trying to put you under. He's always trying to put you over. See, when you get that settled, see, I want him, Braden, to come to know that no matter what goes on, he can come to Paul, hold and throw him out. I'm keeping him, you know. This is what we have. But see, you want to put that in somebody. See, we deal with so many things that are so insignificant. See, I watch people when they should correct their kid, they don't, you know. Sit around and watch little kids do things and it ain't good practice to do. And they laugh, isn't that cute? And I think, yeah. Wait till they're 15 and they're going to still be doing that because you said it was cute. Try that one out. Yeah, and then you're going to come and complain, I can't do nothing with them. Why? Because nobody could do nothing with you. And now you ended up with this. This is your doing. Amen. It ain't cute. You know, it ain't cute no more. Hallelujah. Not just say this, you know, I love Braden, but I'm not Braden's best friend. I'm his pawpaw. Amen. That's right. Yep. See, you have to have a level of hierarchy. If you don't, it's why households don't exist. My husband and wives don't. There's no hierarchy. We're all the same. Not according to the Bible. I read the Bible. We ain't. You fall in line. Why? Because these are patterns that God has set. Now, this has nothing, don't seem to have nothing to do with the Holy Ghost that's moving this way. And just this way I minister. You see, God wants to release wisdom and power for you to overcome, for you to be a success. You can't break God's pattern that He set and have the success that you want of wisdom and power. You got to come in line. See, our American way of life, a lot of it's messed up. It's out of God's pattern. It's not in God's pattern. We have too much in our society as usurping authority. The Bible doesn't allow that. You know, Jesus did. Jesus was God walking around in the earth. Did he use his usurp authority over leaders or anything like that? No. Boy, I'm going to tell you what. God gave you the power to do that. I'm sure you'd pull the gun and pull the trigger often. This is why God don't do that. This is why the gifts of the Spirit operate as the Spirit wills, not as you. This is why all this false stuff has been taught. Well, you have this special gift. You have the gifts of healing. No, you don't. The Holy Ghost got them. He operates them through you at his will. This requires you to find out what God's will is and flow with it. Be led by the Spirit. Who'd ever think that'd happen? That fancy scripture that was put in there, you know. Praise God. Well, I'll tell you what. We're gonna go on next week. We're gonna go in and look at areas in the scriptures where people got filled with the Holy Ghost and look at those things. Because we're gonna find God's patterns, and we have God's pattern. And so you need to, as you learn these things and stuff, you become assured of it. It's one of the things that really helped me when I first got saved was this. Was the Lord taught me about having confidence. One thing is, and I found this out, the more you develop in knowledge of the Word, and not just the knowledge, but the practice of the knowledge of the Word, the more confidence you gain. It's just like anything in life. The more that you learn and you do, you will have more confidence at doing it. You have confidence. And I found this out as an area I started off in the areas of teaching. I had to build a confidence. You know, I used to have when I first started off, I'd have this thing, you know, I'd go out there too. What if I just flub up? What is this? And I, you know, because you think about this, you know, and I had to learn over time by faith to the gift that's in me and learn how to do it. Didn't happen overnight. But the Lord said this to me. He said, your confidence, he told me this. He said, the more confidence you have in what you do, he said, the more it will attract people. It'll attract a person to it. See, if you go out here to somebody and you want to learn how to do a certain thing, and, well, I don't know. Yeah, I do this. Do you ever go around a person and they do like a certain job all the time? And you ask them about it. Could you teach me? And they're, well, you know, I don't know. They have no confidence about what to do. And so what you sit there and think about, I guess I asked the wrong person here. We ought to find somebody else. Why? If they don't have confidence. You see, it's number one, I'm totally confident that God wants me well. I just know that I know that I know. Because I studied the book enough, read the book enough, practiced it enough, seen the success of it enough. It isn't something I think about. It's something I know. See, there's a difference between knowing, having knowledge, awareness, and understanding of something than just have a piece of information. It's totally different. When you come around to what you really, the Bible calls knowing, you know, John said, I know a pass from, you know, you pass from death unto life if you love the brethren. Well, in other words, if you don't love the brethren, you really don't know the love of God. You don't know it. You don't know you pass from death unto life. This is why many Christians struggle. They walk in the flesh, don't pay attention to the inner man. They're at odds with everybody about something, and there are all these things, and it affects their own knowledge of their own salvation. They don't have confidence toward God. The more you have confidence, it'll grab other people. You know what the Lord showed me something? He didn't show me this through Christians. He showed it to me through people, evil people. How Adolf Hitler became totally confident. He dominated and ruled. He was sold out. He sold people by his confidence. He didn't get up, oh, well, yeah, I know Jesus loves you, but, you know, you know. He didn't make excuses. What he said, he didn't care what people thought. He knew it was his truth. He bought that stuff and he sold it. You get guys like Mussolini, these guys, all through Stalin, all these guys. You know what makes a great leader? Somebody will lead, knows where to go and what to do, whether you like it or not, is confident. Because in times of trouble, you need somebody, something to stand up to give you direction. And people who don't know and have five different ways of ideas, where's that going to go? See, I've already got five of my own. I've learned this over the years. I know about leadership. Leaders don't do everything right. But I tell you what, these people that are always worried about the guy don't ever do right, you don't ever follow them. Because they're going nowhere. Complainers ain't going nowhere. If you're looking for somebody perfect, I'm going to tell you, just go home, take a bottle of pills, and go to be with Jesus. Because it ain't here. It's people. We know they aren't perfect. Look at you. Why are we in expectation of somebody else doing everything right when we can't do half as good as they're doing? See, everybody knew what to say was wrong with Biden. But you know what? We only had one guy that knew the answer to head to the direction to fix it all. I didn't have half the ideas that Trump had. And he sure ain't right about everything. But I'm going to tell you what, he's sure done a ton more right. That's what half these people are mad at. They have all their, they can tell you, this is right, this is wrong. Well, why don't you lead us?
Who knew where to go?
I'm just a critic. I like a leader. I do. I like leaders. I like people that will stand up. At least they'll stand up. I don't expect them to do everything right. Let's set a direction. People with no direction. The United States has really been running for the last couple decades with no really strong leadership. We didn't have a president that would be able to stand up and look at Congress and say, shut up and sit down. To tell the courts, shut up and sit down. This is what we're doing. Why? We need a leader. Jesus Christ is a leader. He's not a whiner. He's not a this. He has set direction. He's a leader. Hallelujah. Most of Christianity has a Christianity with Jesus who ain't a leader. You just do what you want. He loves you. That ain't no leader. I ain't no leader. I need a shepherd. I need a shepherd, man. Hallelujah. God, a good one. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. God does good. We're going to do two things before we go. We're going to take an offering for our missionaries. But I'm going to ask Betty to come. She asked about prayer. And we're going to, I'm going to ask people to join us here.